The staff is a pillar of support. The word of God is a pillar of support for us. The word of God helps us for reproof, for sound doctrine, for correction in righteousness. That is the word of God. The Lord is our shepherd. Let's thank him for that. Let's say, you, O Lord, you are my shepherd. You make me lie down in green grass. You lead me beside still waters. You are the peace that I have. You are the peace and confidence that I have. Let's say, thank you, Lord. I will dwell in your house forever. Your goodness and your righteousness, they will constantly be my companion in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's thank the Lord because he's our shepherd. Indeed, he will continue to be so in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. Let's pray that the word of God from the mouth of Pastor Banky will heal us. Yes, as we pay attention this evening, let's pray that the word will heal us. It will give us clarity of sight. Yes, it will give us accuracy of perception in the mighty name of Jesus. That word, the one that is meant for you this evening, it will not pass you by in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Send Pastor Banky to us this evening in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Having said, taking some minutes to pray, but before we take our seats, we'll take our declaration of understanding. Hallelujah. All right, let's do that. One, two, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. All right, let's open our Bibles. There are two portions we were reading last time. Let's read first from the book of Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Let me see where we'll start from. We read it quite in length last time. All right, let's take from verse 11. For thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people. Now this was what he said. You are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that these people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy, and it shall be your fear and it shall be your dread. Then it shall become a sanctuary, but to both the houses of Israel it will become a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over. It will become a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many will stumble over them. Then they will fall and be broken. They will even be snared and caught. Now, please let me just emphasize something before we go to the next portion. He said, you are not to fear what the people fear, and to not to look at everything they look at as somebody has a plan set against you. You are not to look at the Assyrians and the Romans as if they've come up together to undermine your stability. He said, if you see trouble, fear only God. Don't fear the Assyrians. Don't fear the Romans. He said, if you do this, then he shall become a sanctuary. But to both the houses of Israel, a stone to strike. Now, my emphasis is the fact that it shall become a sanctuary. Now, whether God will be your sanctuary or not depends on how you react to things. Faith can hinder the hand of God. It can release the power of God in your direction. Now, let's read the next portion. Go to verse 16. Say, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. He said, and I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. When you hear that God is hiding his face, it means that things are not going well. I will even look eagerly for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. Now, when they say to you, when people offer you other means of deliverance apart from the fear of God and waiting for the Lord. They say, come, let's consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter. It says, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Now, anytime you are giving counsel, that's what I'm making. Anytime you are giving counsel, counsel will come to you all the time. That's just the way life is. Counsel will come to you. He said, to the law, that's what you have to do. To the law and to the testimony. You will turn to the law and to the testimony anytime you are giving counsel. New Living Translation says, you will look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. Now, what happens to those who contradict his word? Verse 21, they will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth. But wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. You will notice, I read the last four few verses. That's verses 20 and 22, three verses there in the New Living Translation. Just for completeness sake, let me just go back to New American that I was reading. It said, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. Now, the result is that they will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished, and it will turn out that when they are hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. Now, I'll just stop reading that one there. Now, what are we saying here? The things we have been saying is all the battle about what? Concerning what?
Faith.
Say it like you're alive and well.
Faith.
It's a battle concerning our what?
Faith.
It's always about our faith. Experiences are determined by faith. I hope you're getting my point. Experiences are determined by faith. What God desires to do is to release his power into the lives of people. And I want to say it again. You can hinder the power of God. It's an easy thing for you to do. You can. Listen, you can. You can. People say things like, if you preachers, if you know you have the power to heal the sick, go to the hospital and go and heal everybody. Have you heard that thing before? Jesus could not do that. Now, I don't have a fraction. Now, I don't claim to have any power. I hope you get my point. No, I don't. I actually absolutely don't. It's the Holy Spirit that has the power. I hope you get my point. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus left with us. And that's the power of God with us. But nobody has more anointing than Jesus Christ had. Nobody. And Jesus could not do it. Jesus cannot go to UNTH and heal everybody. If you like, go and bring him down from heaven. Lock him in UNTH. He'll just sit down there with the admin staff and be looking. He will not even take a stethoscope. Why? Because faith matters. He went to his hometown and could do what? No mighty work. So if he went to his hometown, how much less will he go to UNTH and get things done? So when you hear such criticisms, tell them that it means nothing. It means nothing. Nobody should try and, you know, validate the power of God by somebody go and demonstrate it for us to see. Nobody, God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. What I'm going to emphasize by that is that faith matters. Let's read this portion again. It's a portion we all know, but please, I hope not to teach for too long today. I keep on saying I won't, you know. Matthew chapter 14. Peter said, now, it's a story we all know, all right? But I will not read all of it. Let me just quickly remind us. There was a time the Lord made his disciples get into the boat to go ahead of him to the other side. And then on the way, they saw him walking on the sea. And they assumed it was a ghost. So they began to be afraid. But in verse 27, Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. What did he say? Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I'll stop reading here. What I just want to bring up from there is that why, now, simple. Why did Peter sink? Why did he begin to sink? Why was Peter sinking? Answer me, no, from the words of Jesus Christ. Because of doubt. Because of his faith that wavered. It was because his heart looked away from the word of God, looked at the wind, that the effect of the wind on the water, and he began to what? Sink. Jesus did not say, you are sinking because human beings are not supposed to walk on water. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? What you will experience as positive outcome in your life will be determined by your faith. It will not be determined ever by whether the water is unsteady or not. It will not be determined by the circumstances, you know, the material circumstances around you. It will be determined by your faith. In the midst of an epidemic, whether you will live or die is determined by faith, not by the strength of the virus or the bacteria. I hope you're getting my point. It's determined by what? Faith. It's determined by faith. It's determined by faith. Don't say a conspiracy to what these people call a conspiracy. Please let me say it again. Somebody sat me down today and showed me how wicked people from the so-called first world countries are, and how they undermine and, you know, loot the third world countries regularly. After I spoke for a while, I knew I had to keep quiet because there was no way of talking about this. No way. But I kept on telling him when anything. I said, listen, nobody can loot your nation if you don't give it up for looting. Like I say all the time, I've never been angry with the whites because they never entered any village to look for a slave. You know where they got their slaves? On the shores. They sat in Badagry. They sat in Cape Coast. They sat in different parts of our shore, and we brought the slaves to them. So people from one village will go and raid people from another village and go and sell to the white man. So if you want to be angry about slavery, be angry with the guy in the next village across the river. Don't blame the white man. If you have sold him cows, he will have bought. If you said that what we have here is cocoa, he will have bought it. But you brought human beings, so he bought. And he kept coming back. Your chief sold you and sold those he conquered in war, who are also black people. I hope you get my point. So let's leave that thing. And like somebody said, the whites bought the black slaves because they were available. It was not because of discrimination. If you were selling white people, they would have bought. I don't think you hear what I said. If it was white people that was being sold, they would have bought them too. They would just call them African whites or white from abroad, overseas white. And they will be a caste of human beings till today. They will have a way of knowing who, like now when they tell somebody is a Jew. No, blacks are discriminated against in some countries. So are Jews in many European countries and North America. I hope you get my point. Now you, can you tell them apart? No, think about you. When you go there now, you don't look at it. How many of you know the American vice president? The woman. What's her name? Will you believe that they said she's not white? I needed to say they said the first black who? Does that woman look black to you? The Indian says the first Indian woman. And all I know, there's one white woman there, as far as I'm concerned. Do you get my point? As far as I'm concerned. You know, when I reported for work some years ago in one hospital in the U.S. where I spent some time, this was quite some time ago. So they introduced one woman to me, so I greeted her. Anyway, so I said something funny. I wasn't trying to be funny. So the big man who was my host said, all right, Mrs. Wan so-and-so person. So she said, oh, we met yesterday. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, you all look the same to me. The other one started laughing. And I wasn't joking. Really? And this woman was Iranian. Yeah, she was Iranian. She even taught me a few words in Iran. That in their language, you know. They looked all the same to me. I said, so the man said, as you can see, he's a comedian. I feel like I said, sir, I was not joking. You all look the same to me. When I said, the guy thought I was joking, but the truth is that I was joking. The one I met yesterday and the one I'm choosing today, they all look the same. And this woman was Iranian. She was not even American. She wasn't Caucasian. So when you see all those discrimination things, leave that in. It's only convenient. The black color is just convenient now to mark those that they bought long ago. and their relatives. I hope you're getting the logic. Uh-huh. Now, this is why I'm talking about it. So the man was trying to persuade me that, you see, wicked. I said, there's nothing wicked about it. They are not the reasons why you are poor. They are not the reason why the continent is backward. They absolutely are not. They are not. The Lord is good. Why am I saying all of this? So when they tell you, why are you not making progress? They will not tell you that it's because Americans and Europeans gathered to ensure that Africans don't make progress. I don't believe a word of it. You can construct that thing all you want. I am not to call a confederacy or a conspiracy what the people call a conspiracy. I said something last time, listen. Joseph may be in prison. He may even be in prison because he's in prison. He's not the only one there. The next guy to him may also be in prison for the same setup. But where that person is going is not the same place Joseph is going. I hope you get my point. There's this comedian, I've forgotten his name. He said something long ago. You know, he was wearing a head warmer, wearing a thick jacket. You understand? And it was on the street of Enugu or somewhere like that. It's a comedy. So somebody said, oh boy, why are you dressed like this? Do you know how hot the weather is? He said to the fellow, it's a comedy, it's a joke, but it's very spiritual. He said, because we're in the same country, you think we're under the same climate? He said, my friend, get out from there. We've been in the same country, but don't even think we're under the same climate. And that may sound like a joke, but it's spiritual truth. Joseph is in prison. The other guy is in prison. But they went be in the same prison for the same offense, but they are not under the same climate. They're not on the same journey. Joseph was being tried. The Bible said, until the time that his word came, what happened? The word of the Lord did what? Tested him, tried him, proved him. He was being readied, if I may use that expression, for a particular position that God ordained for him to enter into. That is why he said, you are not to call. What you call things matter. Please, the fellow who talked to me this afternoon, man, he was very persuasive. But you know that me, I've been hardened. I couldn't argue with him. We're not under this faith circumstance. I just said a few things I wanted to say. I kept on telling, look, listen, your countrymen are the problem. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Assuming 50 people were under water that day, and they all drowned, and they are burying them one by one. They will bury number one. This man drowned because he was on water during the storm. They bury number two. He drowned because he ran into the water. There was something I said some time ago when some people ran into the swamps in Ejibu. I said over 100 died. I have a habit of checking facts that I give here. Okay, it was over 1,000. Yeah, I went online to check whether I was right when I say 100. I found out they said over 1,000 died because they heard a noise and somebody lied to them. They heard a rumor and they all ran. It was over 1,000. So, let's just go. So, why did the person die? Because of the noise they heard and he ran into the swampy waters and then he drowned. And then when they get to Peter, why did this one die? They say, oh, this one died for unbelief. In the same water. Why did he die? Unbelief. Why did that? He doubted. He had the word of God to navigate the waters. He had the word of God to navigate the swamp. He had the word of God to navigate the dangerous times, but he refused to hold on to it. He said to follow everybody else. So why did he die? Unbelief. God would never use it to teach people how not to step out on water. He would never use it. He would never write the story so that, listen, next time you see water, keep away. It kills people. No. He would write the story of Peter to let you know that unbelief kills. See, let me just say this like this. If you hear that the price of things in the market, all right, the prices are doubling or have doubled, you know what you do? You go home and double your faith. Please, I beg you, never complain, never grumble. Never stand there and wonder. What do you do? Go home and double your faith. Don't take your account book to check how you will survive. Faith doesn't make natural sense. Go home and double your faith. See, every challenge, first day I spoke about this, I said it. Every challenge is God's way of testing and proving you. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. I hope you get my point. Every trouble you're experiencing, every delay, whatever it is, just say, God, what are you proving? Let's find the word. I said something last time. There is nothing you are going through that the scripture has not been given to you to answer it. There's none. Go and read your Bible until you find how to answer. Everything in life is a test of faith. Listen, oh God, please. If you read, I think on our website, on some of our books, I wrote about the purpose of Kingdom World Ministries is to separate the church from the world through the teaching of the word of truth, the word of faith. I want you to understand it. Everything is testing your faith. Every single thing that's happening. And James said, count it all joy when another set of tests start. See, everything, for you it's about faith, because once faith is intact, like now there's water, there's nowhere to walk. Jesus said he will walk on the water. He didn't always walk on water himself. He used the boat a lot of times. But when there was no boat, you know what he did? He stepped on the water. He wasn't here to do show. I forget my point. He wasn't here to do show for anybody. What happened was that they were gathered together in a place and he told the rest of them, go ahead. When it was time to go, there was no boat. There was nobody to row the boat, even if it was there. There was nothing. And they had to get there. So, you know what he did? He stepped on the water. It may not be the normal thing, but you will not hinder him from going to where he's going because there's no boat. So God says, whatever I want to do in your life will not be hindered because there's no money. Now I'm already teaching you how to respond. Everything, look, everything is asking for a response. It's a test of faith. And what do I mean by faith? How do you respond? The greatest test in the scriptures that we know of, well, one of the greatest, let's not try and measure them and compare one person with another, but one of the greatest was that of Job. We've gone over it again and again and again. All our studies, different people have taught about Job. But never forget something. Never forget it. Just one thing was being tested. What he will say. What he will say. Nothing else was being tested. Look, his children all went for a birthday party of one of them. And then the natural disasters began. There was a storm, there was rain, there was wind, there was everything. The war came down and killed everybody, all his staff, all his children, minus one person that was to go and tell him what happened. Shortly after that, what's the next thing that happened? His people were in the... Which one came first? I can't even... Anyway, you know the things that happened. All his goods lost in one day. All his staff killed, apart from the people that will come and tell him what happened. At the end of the day, when they told him everything, suddenly the recorders were there. The witnesses were called. He went to Philistia. Call them, come and listen. He ran to Egypt. Call them, go and call the elders of Egypt. Everybody gather around the mountains of Jerusalem. And let us listen to what Job will say. God, after all these years I've served you, is this how you will treat me? That's what you have said before. I don't know your name, O. But you know you. I don't believe it. I have lived right all my life. Those who have lived wrongly, look at what they are getting. Is this what I am going to get? I don't know your name, O, but you have said it. You know you. I won't say anything. I'm waiting to get to heaven. God will explain. I don't know your name, but you know when you said it. And even though you have forgotten, God is reminding you now. Because I need you to unwind it. Past mistakes, past errors must be unwound. This will bring. And listen, what he said in Jeremiah chapter 3, just acknowledge. Just say, I said what was wrong. This is what I should have said. Now I'm now saying it. You know, I've told you. Oh, one somebody sent us a testimony. I didn't think about it. I would have brought it out. Say, sir, you say God changes the past. He said he did it for me. And she gave the testimony of how something, yes, I say it was her school graduation. That she believed that God changes the past. So she had the result. She was using, they said she had the second class lower. Alright? Then one day something happened. Can't remember the details because I read it. Then somebody went back. Put her scores back and recalculated, and they reissued her a new certificate
that's a second class upper. He says, sir, I experienced it. God changed the past. That God went back and rewrote something. She wasn't fighting for something. No. God just went back and rewrote it. God changes the past. So don't be afraid to acknowledge it was a mistake. That it was wrong. Let's forget mistake. Just go back and say, Lord, it was wrong. You know, the beautiful thing about God is that when he takes a sin and forgives it, let's say forgive, but that's the proper word. When he takes a sin and forgives it, you will be thanking God you committed it. When you give birth to Solomon, you'll be saying, thank God I killed Uriah. You'll be tempted if you didn't have understanding. You say, if you didn't kill Uriah now, where would Solomon have come from? Don't make a mistake. Oh. That's why I said you don't write doctrine from your experience. You write from scripture. Because otherwise, if you say, I don't have a hair for the throne, say, kill one of your boys. Do you get my point? Yeah. Say, all these your boys are not good. Just kill somebody. Why? What David just experienced was forgiveness. That's why we should never be afraid. Don't, you know, people bury the past sins because, and a lot of people are certain there's no God because they don't know how to get forgiveness. Because this is how you get forgiveness. Just acknowledge your iniquity. That's by the way. Back to Job. What were they doing to Job? What will he what? See. Everybody, I can imagine everybody lined up all the way from the Milky Way galaxy to another galaxy. Everybody just gathered to listen to what one man will say. And he got up and just gave a few words. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Most importantly, what did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Once he said that, and the Lord doesn't do this often, but they turn to the devil and say, no, they call toy. Is that an English word for toy? It should enter the lexicon soon. So the Bible, you now read some Bibles later, and I say, afterwards, it happened that the Lord toyed him. Because of what he said. Satan went back again. Say, let's start the accusation all over again. They took the accusation further. Okay, let him fall sick. He began to have pain, intense pain. His pain was so intense, he said, at night, I will wish it was day. Then during the day, I will wish it was night. There was nowhere to rest. If you rest on the shoulder, it gets sores there. So rest on the left side. He turns to the right, puts on his back, so he wants to stand. He wants to sit. After sitting for 2 minutes, he said, I think I feel more comfortable lying down. Lying down for 5 minutes, I think I feel more comfortable standing up. After standing up for 5 minutes, I feel more comfortable sitting down. That's why the man will be shuffling off and down. And if it was day now, it would be better. And there was no comfort for him. So bad was it that his wife said, look, Oga, if you will just curse God, you will die. And then you will have peace. She wasn't trying to deny God. She was trying to help him die. Do you get my point? It wasn't, now, please, I'm not saying her faith did not fail, but her problem was, this torment is too much. If what they say is keeping you alive is your faith in God, then let go of it so you can die, have some peace. Then once, okay, that was the last word of Satan. Everybody gathered again. They said, are you going to say something? Yes, sir. Now, let me use my own words. The Lord gave this health, he has taken it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said to the woman, we will take good from the hand of God and not take evil from his hand. You speak like one of the foolish women. In all of this, the Bible says, Job did not sin. Finish it for me. With his mouth. Please, I'm telling the people of God, what you say will decide how the power of God will come into your circumstances. Now, let me quickly say something. Now, please, every doctrine that's true has its excesses. Are you getting my point? Everything has a boundary. So, when we sometimes, and that's a mistake, sometimes when we want to correct some things, they go back to the other extreme. So please bear this in mind. I'm about to see, now what I want to say, we make it seem as if I'm criticizing, but I'm not. I believe in the word of faith. I hope you're getting my point. I believe in confessing the word of God. I believe in positive confessions of the word of God. Not just for confession's sake, but because it's scripture. I believe in it. I believe in believing, expecting a good outcome for our lives. I believe that. Okay? But there's an error I found out. I've said it again and again. The greatest faith, and therefore the greatest confession, is not to say, it will turn out well. It is good. It is good. I see only good. That's not the greatest. The greatest, we've seen it from the life of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They told Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord our God is able to deliver us. Number one, remember that? Number two, he will deliver us. The greatest faith was number three. Even if he does not, we still will not bow or worship, that is, to any of your gods. Or worship any of them. We still will not bow to your gods. We will not worship any of your gods, even if he doesn't deliver us. Like I said, I've heard people try to reconstruct it to make it look like they never changed their voice. No, the thing they did not change was their faith in God, not their confession of deliverance. Sometimes we think we know how to do it. We think we know how to confess the right thing. You never heard Job one time confess that God will give me double back for my trouble. He didn't say so. That was not what he confessed. What he confessed again and again was that in this my flesh I will see God. That my faith is hooked on him, is not going away. So that even though what it means that he will kill me, then I will see him in death. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Can I say something to you? Just as an aside, Mr. Aside, that's my other name. I have different names. There are times I'm Jeremiah Amos, all right? Mm-hmm. But I have another one aside. Don't ever hurt children, especially when they are yours. When I say hurt, I don't mean discipline. No. You know what? The way God designed them, they follow you even if you are killing them. And when you find such a thing, only God will defend such people. Some people, look, there's one girl in America. I feel like saying, somebody should go to jail and preach to her. Forgetting her name, now I used to know her name. She had a new boyfriend. And the boyfriend didn't like babe children. So this girl took the two kids, strapped them in her car. One was, I think, three. The other one was one. And drove them into the lake. And just drove the car in there. And when I reported to police that somebody took her children and her car, she's still in jail. She's in life imprisonment. What was her issue? She has a boyfriend. And that one didn't like coming to her house. Simply because he didn't like... Now, children can be a handful. Oh, yes. A legful. A noseful. They are just everywhere. So he didn't come to my house. Come on, you know, your kids won't let them have some, you know, time and all. Ah! After the guy get on talking, the guy said, what is wrong with this? So a woman was in front of me. I said, that day I said to myself, it's so important that I'm not God. You know what she did? It hurts. It wasn't like a big thing, but it hurts very deeply. Because you see, we're sitting there, we're talking about career. Now please, if you love career, why marry? Are you crazy? Why marry? You said to go and marry a young man. Then you got pregnant and delivered the baby in wedlock. Nobody forced you. And you want to pursue career. See, she said something. We're just talking about it and all of that. At that point, she had a baby. The baby was like maybe by a year or so. Or not up to two. So the baby was on the table. You're talking. Currently, we just dropped the baby on the table. We're sitting down. The baby was crying. It was something she said. She shoved the little girl. Come on, keep quiet. Is it because of you I will not be able to live my life? Could catch me. That day I remember everywhere I said, you are so lucky I am not God. You are so, so lucky. The kind wicked heart where I get, I go commode that picking, commode the career, commode the husband. God, so, you know, God, I don't even want to thank you again because you know. That's why you didn't give me the job. Say, Banky, stay on this side. Just stay on the earth. Be teaching there. Because if I bring you up here to come and help me arrange things, you go keep pressing. Like I said, it's an aside. You know why I went into the issue of babies? See, the mother beat you 2-year-old for doing something wrong. And the mother starts walking away. What's the baby doing? Starts running after the mother. That is faith. That is faith. That's what I'm talking about it. That is faith. That is the high level of faith. That's no matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. You know the song? We're taught faith as if, no, say, good, only good will come to me. I also say it. But I understand that the highest level of faith is for me to say to God, I don't tire to confess. I want to lie down here and die in your hands. Yes. To me, I found out the highest level of faith. When you are too some people confess so much, God says, I'll wait for you to get tired. I wait. That's because I wait now. You go tire, that is. That time I was ill. That was last time I was ill. I was really, really ill. I told my wife, I said, please, if I pass out, please don't take me to a hospital because I don't want anybody to put me in ICU and put tubes down my throat and wire me up like electrical equipment. I don't want it. It's true. You know, I just was angry. Part of it because my friend died on Saturday and I fell ill on Sunday. So it just looked like, also after every wire, what did people do for us? Nothing. I have one philosophy, which is faith. It's not just philosophy, it's fact. If I'm going to die, I will die. If I will not die, I will not die. Don't worry about what my wife does, what she doesn't do. So I told her, I said, okay, listen. If I pass out, see that big white bed sheet, lay it on the bed and leave me there. Don't let anybody carry me anywhere. Then that he said you should leave him here. I said, that white was a towel, actually. I said, that big brand new towel, you know, those white, fluffy, very big, enough to make a bed. Just lay it and roll me there. I said, I'll wake up. Either on earth or in heaven. This flesh will not see corruption, so don't worry about that one. But the wake up, I shall wake. Either it is here, on the other side. Sometimes, we think we know. People like detailed confession. I don't believe in it. Write line by line, detailed confession. This morning, my business, I shall go out. I shall meet 15 new customers. They shall patronize me. My turnover today will be 1 million naira. Listen to me. If you have that habit, stop it. I will just say to you, stop it. It's not a good use of time. It's not a good use of time. All those detailed lines in my life is not a good use of your time. Find the scripture, drop it, and go. Just use one word. In all that I do, I will prosper. Who told you that it must be today? What's wrong with you? Who told you it must be? What gave you the impression it's only today people will prosper? Just think about Joseph waking up every day in the prison. Today I shall be delivered. Today I shall be delivered. Okay, bro. That's how to get frustrated. Because when you say today I shall be delivered for 6 months, your faith is weakening every day because yesterday you were not delivered. You start giving Satan more to say to you. You think God is coming? He's not coming, no. So I hold on to my confession. Look, that's not what we are holding on to. My plan for my future is not what I'm holding on to. How God will deliver me is not what we are holding on to. I hope you're getting my point. That's not. How could Joseph... Now, let's assume you go to teach Joseph the faith that we like to teach ourselves. Do you know what Joseph will have done? Will have written out 15-line confession. Mrs. Potiphar shall be exposed. Somebody who was there will gather the boldness to testify. My case shall be reopened. And then it shall come to pass that the Pharaoh, the chief judge Is it chief judge? The chief justice, whatever, shall reopen this case. And I shall be found non-guilty. Then they will discover that I'm not really a slave. I'm royalty. That my father has a promise from God. And they are going to return me to the house of my father. And I shall do my brother's toying. 11 times. One toying for each person. In fact, 12 times, two for Reuben. He was the firstborn. You know, that's what he will write. And every day he will be declaring it. You know what happened? At the end of 6 months, frustration will set in. It will never cross his mind to say, Pharaoh shall have a problem. It will never cross his mind to say, I shall meet two powerful officials of Pharaoh in this prison. It would never have crossed his mind to say, one of them shall be reinstated and will remember the good deed I did for him. It will never cross his mind to say, Lord, you will not allow him to remember until Pharaoh is in trouble, so that my glory shall shine in the midst of Pharaoh's darkness. Ooh, darkness is coming upon Pharaoh. I shall be his light. At the end of the day, I will be number two ruler in Egypt, and my enemies shall see it, and I shall turn all of them. You know that will never have crossed his mind. That's why I've told those of you who are experts in writing detailed confessions. Chill. Don't get a job. That's what I do. Start a business. You have too much time. How can you plot your life? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Listen to the next line. Neither has anybody imagined. Neither has he entered the heart of man. What God has planned for you. Including you. Not only other people, you don't know. You now want to confess what you don't know. Okay, if God were to carry out everything that Joseph said, you know the best that would have happened? He will return that little rascal back to his village. All he will get is at Reuben. They won't get more than that. He thought I was there. Daddy, this is your sons are murderers. They scattered the whole family. After that, he has no family again. But if he had just waited for God, and all he said is that the Lord gave and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In my flesh, I will still see God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There is none like the God of Jacob, my father. He rises in heaven to help me. And through the skies in his majesty, this eternal God is my dwelling place, not prison. I'm not being covered by this prison roof, but under his wings, I take refuge. His faithfulness is my shield and my buckler. I will not be afraid of what happens by day or by night. That's all the confession he had. Every day he confesses like that. And everyone, the day he was released from prison, the first thing that probably came to his mind is that the case has been reopened, they're about to hang him. And how can you be in jail? They tell you the king is sending for you, and you think it's anything different than from the fact that Potiphar has gone to carry your matter. See, this Potiphar man does not even forgive. And I have told him I didn't do anything. He says, shave your beard. That's it. They shave people's beards before they behead them. So I have this all kinds of interpretations. How will he have ever guessed that over the next few weeks, he will be ruling this country? It wasn't immediately they put him in charge. Are you getting my point? They must have had discussions, and he just kept on having answers to problems. You know, some people, they are master problem describers. Say, we'll put grain down, we'll store grain. Have you never heard of weevils? They are going to eat up all the grain. That's the chief Egyptian scientist, agricultural scientist. And Joseph says, yes, sir, it's true. But my father is a shepherd. All my family, we are shepherds. And sometimes we have to store some grain and all of that. There is this technique my father said he learned from his father, who learned it from his own father, who had a relationship with God that's been passed down to us. It's called the wisdom from above. That's what my father used to say. He said, if we store it this way, and we apply this amount of heat from this distance every 3 weeks, for 6 months, no grain, no weevil will come near that one again. And Pharaoh looks at the chief scientist. What do you have? Have you tried that before?
Well, I think we might have to.
No, sir, we've done it. My father used to do it. We did it a lot. And I met it at the age of 5. I was getting involved in it. There was one particular day we stored something. We forgot it there. 3 years after we brought it, do you know we still planted the crop and it still germinated? After a while, you know, Pharaoh got tired of meetings. So any problem you have, give this boy, he has a solution. Because that's how he brought solution about water. He brought solution about how to bake bread. He brought solution about heat. He brought solution. So Abel, put him in charge. Whenever he's in charge of everything, he's called the prime minister. Question. Could bro have confessed that into existence? Come on, don't lie to yourself. He could not have. Why are you trying to confess your own future into existence the way you like it? How many of you have a book of detailed structural confessions that are supposed to carry into the 28th century? You know what to do with it now. Use it to light a stove. Burn it. Doesn't work like that. God has not given anybody enough wisdom to work out the details of his own future and how to walk into it. There's nobody, nobody. Nobody on this earth has it. Stop pretending. Stop pretending. Nobody on this earth has it. Stop pretending. You don't have it. You don't have the technology. There's no wisdom that can teach that to you. It doesn't exist. Today, when I went in a prayer meeting about some issues, and, you know, yesterday I prayed with somebody, and the Spirit dropped the word in my heart about mercy. So I shared with the person concerning mercy. Then today we're praying with somebody else again. Somebody else brought up the issue of mercy. And that person said, yeah, that's what the Spirit... I said, let me add my voice to it because let's all know that we are really hearing what God is saying. And it's about to end the meeting. Something came to my heart. I said, no. Peradventure the Holy Spirit, and I believe it was. I said, please, guys, let me clarify it again. One area where Christians undermine mercy is when they think they know how to do it. They even think they know how to pray. And let me say it again. Those of you keep on sowing, you know, people are stubborn. Yeah! Human beings are store. They born them inside store, so it's called store born. You know, you can be American born, Nigerian born. Some people are store born. Jeez! Like I say all the time, I finally understood one day why God created hellfire. I didn't know for a long time. Until I got into positions of authority. And I realized that if I was God, I would create 3 hellfires. I shall pass through it in stages. It's called burning process. And it will burn you for some time. We'll bring you a check whether you are roasted. If not, go to the next one. People can stop burn. Yeah! Yeah! Why am I saying this? With everything I have said, some people are still sowing seed so that God can hear them. Your case, I don't know how to handle it. Some were actually so bigger seed. This last drama that I saw from Vine Nation, there's one part of it I liked. When that reverend collected that money and walked past, I said, this man is a man of God. Just collected the money, God bless, and just walked and continued his conversation. I said, this is what people deserve. People are still, when I see something, it's like, hi. You know, your body will just crawl like, what? Let me tell you, in case you do not know, it's why you have not been getting answers to prayer. You are still sowing seeds for the prayer answer. Stop sowing seeds for answers. What did I say?
Stop sowing seeds for answers.
See, they are whispering it. That's how you know. They are not convinced. Whether you are convinced or not is your problem. You will say what I said today. Jonah, close that door. Nobody, see, better... She's about to close it though. Just pause. Let's see whether they will repent. Say it again. Stop sowing seeds for answers.
Stop sowing seeds for answers.
Leave the door open. They can go home. The truth? Those seeds undermine your revelation of mercy. They undermine your ability to believe God in peace. They create confusion in your spirit. If you want to ask God for something, kneel down. And please, if you are If you are listening to us from Eastern Nigeria, you are primarily an Igbo person. Use the word biko. I want you to say something in language that really comes from inside. If you are Yoruba, you say, Baba, ejo. You know what ejo means? It's biko. That is, the only reason you will do this is because you want to do it. That's the meaning of biko. I have no other plea but your magnanimity. I have no other plea but your goodness. I have no other plea but you are God and you love people and you like to do good. That's it. If you do any other thing, you are looking for trouble. Just say that, why am I here? Because of Jesus now. Is that not what you said? Behold the Lamb of God that took away my sins. So that I can come boldly to say, do it because you are good. Why do you think I like doing such things? I bought a Bible. You know, they said we should buy a Bible that time. I bought it. So one day, they now told us to read Psalm 23. And he said, the Lord is our shepherd. And for that reason, we will not want. So that's why I have come. That's the only thing you can, that is, refer him to him. Did you get my point? Yeah, you reference God when you are talking to God. It's only a reference. It must be a heart that's pleading based on no personal worthiness. That is what is called mercy. Aye. Bow down your head. Take a moment again. Just a minute. And say, God, there's something you want him to do for you. Do the big old thing. Jabez said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Nothing that I'm worthy of in myself, just that you will bless me indeed. That's all. Just take a minute. Just say, Lord, a job. Some people have said things like, you come to say, God, you promise, you must do it. Hey, don't do like that. No, be a me too. Your promise is just for you to know you are not going against him and you are in alignment with what he wants to do. That is the promise you've read about. Don't let anything undermine that confidence that you have in mercy. You can never have confidence in you know how to do it. You can never have confidence in you know how to pray it. Your confidence is that God is good. God shows mercy. That's your confidence. Remember David? He said, I brought judgment from God. What did God say in judgment for my sins in which I went against the word of Samuel? And my men reminded me not to do it, so it became a sin unto death. What did God say? He said, 3 years of famine, 3 months running before your enemies, or 3 days in my hands. What did David say? God is merciful. Let me fall into his hands. That's a man who understands God. As I'm going, just fall into his hand right now and say, Lord, now I've dropped myself in your hand because you are merciful. If it is sin, I've done it, I know. I forgive. I'm not saying I know how to pray. I've been taught how to come. Because of Jesus, I can come boldly. Now that I've entered, let me say it the way it is. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Somebody, you should pray for your children. Ask God for mercy for them. Don't say, I have trained them well. Shut up. You don't know what you did not do. You misled them many times. You don't know. Stop quoting things like, it is written. That's how people go again. In the way you should go. Raise up a child. In the way you should go. And when it is old, he will not depart from it. I have raised him. Don't say that. That scripture must no way apply. It's telling you raise this child well. When you have done what you think is right, don't turn and say, I have done it. No, never say it. Say, Lord, have mercy on this, my boy. Have mercy on this, my girl. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my wife or my husband. Whoever is praying, let this child turn out well and serve you. As he's leaving home, please, as she's leaving home, don't let... You know, not all men have faith. The world is full of wickedness. The dark places are filled with cruel people. Lord, when my child will go through the dark place, be in front, be behind, be on the left, be on the right. Say, Lord, take care of him. Make him a man of God. Make him a woman of God. Make her a woman of God. Don't let him depart from the way of righteousness. Let him, let her have more faith than I have, than the parents. Lord, I give this child to you. Let your promise guide him and lead him. Have mercy on me. Keep her on the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And when they are leaving home, prophesy upon them. Say to them, the Lord will help you. The Lord will keep. Not, I have told you, when you want to cross the road, look left, look right, and look left again. Once you do it, you'll be safe. As an adult, I almost got killed twice by buses in Lagos. One of them, my error. The second one, the driver's error. As a little boy, I was like 13. I almost got killed. My error. How do you want to train a child on how to cross the road? You've not seen trucks drive. You've not seen keke trying to beat traffic. People I know that died in this city. The first one was coming down from a bike. She didn't do anything wrong. She sat on a bike. She was just coming down. Her back swung. Just the bag just swung. You know the way you are coming down? Her handbag just swung. That moment, a truck caught the bag, pulled out of the bike, hit her head on the road, and she died. Somebody I know very well. She was told my wife a few days before, "Ah, madam, I'll still come and see you." Next, I got a call. She was dead. The other one was walking normally. A car jammed a keke. Keke ran into her, hit her. She hit her head badly on the road. She was dead. I'm so don't say, don't just come on. Ask your God to guide these children as they go out and come in. That's what we are saying. Just ask God. But I've taught you what to do. When you go to school, I've told you, don't do this one. Say to them, it's right, but that will not keep them. After you have done all you know to do, now say, Lord, I cannot trust in my flesh, I cannot trust in my ability, I can only trust in your mercy, in your mercy, in your mercy. Pray for those children one by one. Even if you have grandchildren, you are allowed to pray for them too. Just invoke the mercy of God. Tell them the Lord will keep you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will defend you. The Lord will be a shield round about you. And look up to God and say, Lord, have mercy on my children. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Answer an amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, I just wanted to quickly, like I said, small digression. So, please, when we're talking about mercy, it's not because we know those details. Sometimes Christians speak as if they have the ability for details. But what are we supposed to do? Did we recall, we're reading somewhere, right? Right? Oh, yeah, we read Isaiah chapter 8, yes. Remember, to the law and what? To the testimony. Don't ever, for any reason, speak against the counsel of God and what the whole earth, what everybody is listening out for is what he will say. And that is a manifestation of your faith. So what are we saying? For example, when Elder John was leading prayer earlier, you heard him say some things like, they tell you everywhere is dangerous. There's a response to that. Do you know that? There's a response to it. Open your Bible, Psalm 91. There's a response to it. They tell you everywhere is dangerous. There is a response to it. Are you there? I want us to read from verse 5. No, should I read? Let's, everybody open to New Living Translation. There's a reason why. Because New Living Translation gives some things as instructions. So it's clearer to us, even though they're translated from the same Hebrew. But because of the way we reason, you may not know it's a commandment. You think it's just a prediction or a prophetic word. It's actually an instruction. When you say, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. New Living Translation says, do not be afraid. Do not dread. Just open your eyes. That's what he says. So I want us to read New Living Translation for that reason. Are you there? Now let's read from verse 1. This is how you respond. It's a response. And please memorize scripture. I hope you get my point. It's important you commit scripture to memory. How do you do that? Just read it again and again. It will print itself in your mind. Those is in the house, because we kept on reading in my house. I think it was that COVID period. We're reading Jeremiah chapter 10. So anytime I just get there in the house, I tell the children, Jeremiah chapter 10. Everybody open your Bibles. They open. I said, Jeremiah chapter 10. They just close the Bible. They just, you see, their hands just drop down. Everybody, Daddy, don't worry. Once you start, Daddy, they just give it to you. If you want them to do it from the last verse and go back up, everyone could do it. I did one trick one day. Did I tell you the story? You use it for your kids too. It's very good. The king said, I should give them money for a game. No game. I do play on the PlayStation. You know, I've never liked games in my life. I don't know why. I've never been able to play computer games. Even as a little boy, we didn't have much, but at least we had some small, all those ping, that dots be running up and down. I've never been able to do it. I don't know. I think I was just too intellectually inclined. I was looking at the stars and the moon, and that's a joke, oh. I just didn't know how to play the game. So, for that reason, as my children were growing, I didn't know the cost of these games. I didn't know these were so expensive. I said, no big game. So, the nurse said I should come and buy a game. When I heard the price, like, what? It's not this thing that people do on the screen. Well, it was COVID period. It was not COVID period, sweetheart. I feel like, just buy it for them now. And my wife is looking at me like, the poorest father in Enugu. He can't buy a game. That kind of attitude. So I said, you must pay. He said, how do we pay? All of you go and memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That was the payment I gave him. I said, everybody go and memorize the whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I gave it like 2-3 days. Of course, if you'd be amazed. The only person I excluded that she didn't have to do was the girl, because I've never seen her carry console. I mean, no, she doesn't have that. What do you consider? If anybody tells her men and women are not different, the person is not serious. They're very different. So I told everybody, go and memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Which version is this? Just NIV. Just go and memorize it. After a few days, they came back. That day, we are ready. Everybody got it. When I say 98%, I mean 99%. That is the only thing. Maybe the Lord said that. Maybe he said that. Lord, they said God. That's the only error anybody made. So if you want your children to memorize the Bible, you'll hang something there. Memorize this portion. And it's very doable. One of our sisters, the daughter memorized the whole of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. How many verses? 176. She put everything in her head and stood before the congregation and recited it from the beginning to the end. I was there. Nobody said they can't tell me. She stood there and recited the whole of Psalm 119. Learn to put scripture in the head. Because what I'm saying so is that find a way to memorize scripture. How you memorize, just go by it again and again. Just go by it again and again. And you will find out that you remember it sometimes without any effort. So Psalm 91 now, please, this is how, when they tell you all those things, you must react. What did I say? Don't be silent, you must react. You can say it like a joke. If it's a place where you can't just decline the word, just say it jokingly. Say, this country is dangerous. Say, what are we going to do? It is our country. The God who has kept us till now will continue to keep us. Just take one scripture and twist it. He will give his angels charge concerning my life now. I pray to him. You say like that, you know, there's something we don't want to just quote scripture for. You just twist it like that. You don't drop them. But don't keep quiet. One brother asked another one, say, how are you putting surviving in that country? He said, how are you? How are you surviving in Europe? The person called from the UK. How are you people surviving there? He said, how are you surviving there? Open your mouth, let God just spoil things for you. You know, look, you know, there are things you shouldn't say. We'll read in a moment, but let me just tell you something. There are things you don't say. That brother that asked that question was a very bad question. Because that guy would have given an answer that would put him in trouble. But no, he meant well, actually. He wanted him to say, how are you surviving? I'm in Nigeria, you're asking me, am I surviving? So me, I've asked you now, you that is in London, you that is somewhere in England, how are you surviving? Just tell me. See, the structure here works trouble. Now, in case you are listening to me for London and you have ever said that, please, as soon as we finish, go and kneel down and say, God, I'm sorry. Because like I told you, we may all be in the same country. Does not mean we're under the same climate. If you say that kind of thing, God will make a working structure work against you. You'll be amazed at how he will rewrite the past and show that you came into the country illegally. He will so rewrite the past. Suddenly you see yourself, you're an illegal immigrant. Then because the structure works, you are in a detention center, waiting to go to Rwanda or come to back home. If you apply for asylum, they say you are going to Rwanda. If you did not, say you are going back home. You just be wondering, how did this happen? God said the structure works. The brother put the guy on the stand. How are you surviving there? Just tell me. That one got the point and he was silent. He said to him, the same God that's keeping you there, he can keep us here. Our God is not just a God of the mountains. It's a God of the valleys too. Please go and read that story. It's the people of Aram that Israel fought in 1 Kings chapter 20. They're the one that said it. That we lost because their God is the God of the mountains and not the God of the valleys. Anybody telling them, how you survive in Nigeria? I say, wait. I don't know, maybe your God can't handle Nigerian problems, but mine can. That's a nice way to answer anybody. Hey, I saw something today. I sent to some of our people. Some of you may have seen it. One woman in Haiti, she said, when I saw it, I said, oh, wow, this is scripture. I need to read that. Let me read that for you. She said, only God can change this place. Now, that's the headline in BBC News, what I'm giving you now, the headline. Only God can change this place. Haitians see no end to spiraling violence. I was quoting one particular woman. What did the woman say? Let me just quote it for you if I can find it quickly. Yeah, she said, only God can change this place because from where I am sitting, I can't see where any other change is coming from. I said, these people are close to salvation. Somebody give me a visa. I want to go there to preach. Oh, these are the places I want to go. The woman said, only God can. I remember, the Lord has sworn by himself and the word has gone forth from his mouth in righteousness. What does the word say? That they will, he said, how did he say again? He said, they will say of me, yes. They will say of me only in the Lord and righteousness and strength. When I saw this, Nigerians, wait, let me just tell you. The earlier you get here, the better. As long as you think Bola Tinubu has something up his sleeve, you will wait. Eh? You're not going to wait tired. If you think now Port Harcourt refinery is working, you will wait until you are tired. If you have a strategy, it's the day the church comes and says, God, see, no to APC, no to PDP, no to Labour Party, no to ANPP, no to CDC, no to ABC, no to XYZ, no to everything. God, please, be cool. Remember that be cool principle? Say, Lord, be cool. We have come to beg for help. Some people say, you see what you need. One of our brothers, you know, he shares this with me today. He said, look, that these Muslims have more sense than these Christians. He didn't say it like that. He said in other words. Because a governor in the north has called for prayer against banditry. And online people are now mocking. Is that what we need? Oh boy, don't be stupid. That is what you need. If America can pack its bag and run away from Afghanistan, that is what you need. It's the same spirit. That is what you need. If you have look, if these governors will actually do that, God will say, let's give them small mercy. The bandits will run. He said, look, when they how are you surviving that country? Tell the person, you, where you are, how are you surviving? He said, here things work. I said, why don't say it again? Because if you say it again, it'll stop working for you. Look, you've been in a system that works, and the only work is against you. Yeah, I'm telling you, like my wife will say sometimes, that is when you go to the way they think. They don't even know sorry. You know, sorry, you know? If they say, don't cross this line, you tell the typical black man, that you, Oga, please, no vex. I beg, you know, there's this thing of like, okay, madam, I just respect your age, When your mama doesn't understand, he don't give you ticket. I'm respectfully giving you this ticket. Just respectfully give you a ticket. Go and pay your fine. You go, just walk wrongly. Respectfully deport you. Read the story of one guy, true story. I think he was abroad. No, he was from Vietnam, somewhere around those countries. Came to the US. When he was coming, I think he told them that he was married or something like that. So they allowed him to bring his wife. And mistakenly, now the story may be slightly different, but something like this. Then he got there. However, he had not married that woman back home. He wanted to, but he had not. So he just said that he's married and had used that one to bring her over. Then when he got to the US, he had to marry her. So he now went and married. And there was no problem. He stayed there for 15 years, a practicing doctor. At the end of 15 years, he decided to apply for American citizenship. So they brought out his documents and started looking and discovered that error and they deported the guy. Yeah, you lied to a federal. They have all this lie to this, lie on that oath, lie on an official document. Not only did they deny him the citizenship, they canceled his residency permit and deported the guy. In a system that works. Because the system works. If it was there, we'll beg you. Oh God, no, what I meant was that actually, the marriage is step by step. Back home, our families had exchanged cola. So you see, spiritually, we're already married. But only came to America to finalize it. You can be saying that when you get to Phnom Penh, wherever it is in Vietnam. True story. You don't want a working system to work against you. I know what I'm telling you. So how do you respond when they tell you things are bad? Everybody, let's read from Psalm 91, New Living Translation, please. Where we are going is... we are actually going all the way to... we'll stop somewhere. Let's just continue. From verse 1, are you there? Now, I want to let's go. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. Please, I need you to read that verse 2 again. 1, 2, let's go. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. Read it one more time. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust. Verse 3. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Please, as we go on, do me, okay? He's saying you, what do you do? Me. Verse 3 again. He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. 4. He will cover me with His feathers. He will shelter me with His wings. His faithful promises are my armor and protection. Verse 5. I will not be afraid of the... Now let's read as a commandment. Verse 5. Do not be afraid of the terrors by night. Do it again. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Commandment number 6, do not dread disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch me. Hallelujah. Verse 8, say it. I will open my eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Verse 9 says, now, before you do that, I want to read it, then we'll personalize it. He said, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Now you are going to read from verse 9 and say, I have made the Lord my refuge, and the Most High my shelter. No evil will conquer me. No plague will come near my home. He will order His angels to protect me wherever I go. They will hold me up with their hands, so I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. I will trample upon lions and cobras. I will crush fierce lions and serpents under my feet. Now, let's go. Verse 9. I have made the Lord my refuge. I have made the Most High my shelter. No evil will conquer me. He will order his angels to protect me wherever I go. They will hold me up with their hands so that I will not hurt my foot on a stone. I will trample upon lions and cobras. I will crush lions and serpents under my feet. Now, listen to this. Now, what are we reading here? The reaction to news concerning danger. Anytime they warn you about danger, say this first. I hope you're getting my point. If you don't remember it, bring it out of your phone and read it. Do you get my point? If you've forgotten it, just bring it out your phone and read it. It is clear there. Just read it out. The word will become flesh and take care of you. Do you hear what I said? The word, you see, like I said earlier, you don't need details of how God will do it. The word has been given to cover everything. There is no situation you want to enter in this life that God has not said something specific about. There is none. There is no situation in this life that you want to enter into that God has not said something specific about. I've heard all kinds of things said to me in previous times, including by those who are joking. One day I was walking like this, I just took a stick, I was playing, and somebody said, oh, donkey has 60. Like play. Now that 60 I did look for front now. Amen. Those days, you know, like 60 was far, because that time, actually I was in my 20s. That time, if I remember, I was like 25, 24, not 26. Person just say, dog has 60. Yeah! My body shake. That time we used to listen to Bishop Oyedepo a lot. So the water was hot like fire. I took the stick. I pointed at the person direct, quoted from Psalm 103. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I didn't plan to say it though. I just didn't find it funny. I was just in the house, just put a stick down, I was moving. He said, hey, doctor 60. I said, you couldn't even say doctor at 105. If I said 105, we'll have used other scriptures. We'll have gone to Psalm 92 for that one. Do you get my point? That Mark the righteous man, he said he will be old and full of what? Sap. At least he was down. But ordinary 60. 60. I may not know football too much, but at least I remember Mario Zagallo when he coached the Brazilian team for USA 94. He was about 70. And he was on the field coaching. What is it now? 60, is he old? I have classmates that are over 60. And then they can't 60. Just I provoke. My mom is 85. Ask my wife. She walks very straight. My mother, yes, she's 85. And anytime she comes to Enugu, at least she's not been there in some years. The only assignment she has in the world is to walk around independently out. And now I'm bending at 60. Don't warn yourself. Not just joke that kind of joke. If you see one time, say, doc at 152. Hey, that's, you know, now we are talking. The one I make is I just answer the person. I say, listen, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you get my point? You must always have a reaction to something, to everything. Someone they tell you the world everywhere is dangerous. Now listen, I don't care how dangerous it is. Did I say go and buy a dog? No, answer. Did I say go and buy a dog? Did I say go and buy a bulletproof vehicle? Talking about bulletproof vehicles. I tell you the story of one man who bought a bulletproof vehicle. And then they crossed him, his driver jumped down and ran away and let the door open. If I were the thief self, I'll just say to the guy, okay, please just give us the address of that your driver, because that guy is so stupid. Let's go and catch him. Because once he began to move, he was running. When he finally was trying to run away from these guys, then there was traffic. He just parked the car there, yanked the door open, and ran. And his guy was sitting inside a bulletproof vehicle, well contained for the criminals to come and catch him there. I hope you're getting my point. Listen. I didn't say go and get bulletproof vehicle. I didn't say go and get armed police, armed guards. I didn't say so. What I said is just maintain what? Your confession. Maintain what he has said. They let him solve. You know what he said? He said, what do you see? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. God said, you have seen well. What does it mean? I watch over my word to perform it. Did you hear that? God said, I watch over my word to do what? To perform it. He said, what do you see? I see a rod of an almond tree. He said, very good. That just shows that I watch over my word to perform it. Isaiah says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. God was speaking to Isaiah. He said, none of this shall fail. Neither will anyone be lacking its meat. He said, why? That's portion of it I love. He said, because the mouth of the Lord has commanded. Therefore, his spirit has gone out and has gathered them. What does that mean? Anytime God's word goes forth, the Holy Spirit, his angels, that's what I mean by his spirit, all right? They go out and create the fulfillment of it. Your job is just one thing, which is what? Maintain that confession. Now, let me say this. In the midst of difficulty, like I said on the last time, I feel like I should repeat it. Those guys, they had three words. Number one, we've looked at it different ways. Number one, the Lord our God is able to deliver us. First confession is about God's what? Ability. Number two, he said, and he will deliver us. Second confession, about his intention in their lives. Number three, even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. Third one, their confession of their eternal commitment to God. Now, notice something. They will never change their opinion of his ability, no matter their experience. That's what I'm bringing out from there. That they said, listen, we will never change our opinion concerning his ability, no matter our experience. So if I'm sick and I'm dying, and I prayed and I didn't get healed, before I close my eyes finally, I will smile. Hold your hand and squeeze it. He's a healing God. That's what they were saying. They said, the Lord our God is what? Able to deliver us. But if he does not deliver, we still will not bow. What were they saying? The Lord our God is still able to deliver us, even if he doesn't deliver us. Many people are waiting for God to fulfill something in their life because they know that that's the way he is. Listen, all of his apostles, the apostles of Jesus Christ minus one, died by beheading, by being crucified. It didn't change the fact that it was that same God that delivered Peter. Remember they first took James? They killed James. Then they took Peter, and then they began to make unceasing prayer for Peter. And for that reason, and many other reasons, God went there, told one angel, go and release Peter. Peter was sound asleep. Oh God, that angel, very weak. You know, there are some angels, there are different angels. That one was a spy. He picked the lock, opened the door, brought Peter in, out, locked the door again. Peter thought he was in a trance. Until they got outside and the angel disappeared. He realized he was really outside. Do you get my point? Now, was that not the same God that went into the dungeon? And not, he didn't go to the dungeon. He shook the whole foundation of the building. Shook everywhere. The padlocks, everything fell off Paul and Silas. And all the people in the jail. Did you notice something? They didn't even run away. Shepita ran away. This one, they didn't run away. They stayed there. They wanted to go. Some people, let's go. Peter, Paul said, wait. There's no need to run. Silas, were we looking for deliverance? No, we're just worshiping. So just relax. Why did they have to relax? Because God said, if you run, this guy will kill himself. The real revival will not break out. Many of us have run away from revival. Small hunger. Listen, let me just tell you something before I go. All right? Let me just, you know, I always have a word for preachers. If you're preacher, called preacher. I mean, all of us preach the gospel. I mean, but you know you're a minister of the gospel. Let me just warn you, your life, never, ever, ever, ever in your life run away for whatever reason, especially hunger and stuff like that, from the place where your anointing is flowing. Did you hear what I said? Don't run away from the place of revival. Don't. Paul will leave when the persecution, that is, the ministry is no longer moving because of persecution. He said, go to another what? City. That's what Jesus said. When they persecuted him, this one, move to another city. But as long as they were hearing that word, hunger could not move Paul. Did you hear what I said? Because I've noticed a lot of people run. You look at him and say, why, you know, I need to settle my family. Please, I will pray to preachers for a few more minutes. Let me just warn preachers. First, James has said it. They are saying, please, we need preachers to go. You know what James said? Put down your hand. Don't volunteer. Let God call you. God needs to go and call you. Say, hey, you are there. Come on, go and join them. Don't you say? He said, because once you put up your hand, you are signing off for what? Double judgment. So let me tell you the double trouble of preachers. I'd like to give the story of my friend, Pastor Corey, who you all know as a testimony. When the north was hot, smoking. I've not felt that kind of tension too many times in my life. The type I felt after President Buhari against Good Jonathan's election. That tension wanted to kill me. Ah! I will call him man of God. When he calls me, hello, I want to hear the sound of his voice. When he says, how now? Then I calm down. I don't hear any tension. Where I'm going is how he reacted to everything. Everybody was afraid. Ah! The tension would grip me like this. I almost have stomach pain. That day I called Mommy Ann. I said, Mommy Ann, I don't care. Don't tell me God didn't tell you anything. I know you. I know God spoke to you. Tell me what he said now because I'm dying here. Pastor Roy will tell you that you can make demand on another. That day I made a demand. I said, Mommy Ann, don't tell me he didn't tell you anything. I said, God spoke to you. What did he say? That's how hot the tension was. Let's talk about the man of God. You know what? They told him, give us your wife, give us your children. No, they said, you, come over to Lagos. We'll take care of you. He said, what about the people in my church? Where would they go? He said, okay, give us your wife, give us your children. He said, what about the other wives in the church? What about the children? He stood in the midst of that tension with his wife. His mother-in-law almost went mad. Reported him to everybody in this world who have ears to hear. He told me, he said, my family is safest where I am. That was his philosophy. He said, wherever you are going, I have to be there. If I'm not there, we're together on Wednesday before the election held. We went for a burial in Akure. I was rushing to get back to Enugu. He was rushing to get back to Sokoto. Election was on Saturday, when Akure on Wednesday. You could have found an excuse to stay behind. He needed a flight. All flights were booked. He took a taxi from the airport straight to Sokoto. Just took a taxi. Hey, take me to Sokoto. In case you don't know, without checkpoints, 8 hours drive. When a northerner is driving you, not all these southern guys who want to leave. I mean, when the Hausa man is driving you, that's what I mean. It's 8 hours. No, these are roads we've passed many times. He got to the airport, there was no flight. The flights were full. You know, it's election, so everybody was moving. So he took it out. Why? He said, I need to get home to my family. See, he said, look, they are safest where I am. That was his principle. So the children travel that and you will come back and go and stay with him. Say, here, I can watch over you. I'm telling you. Don't think there was no tension. He said there was a night. He told the children, let us pray. They are coming to kill us. They will kill all of us together. Everybody come out. We are praying. The Jews was everywhere. They are going to slaughter all the Christians. He said, okay, everybody gather here. When they come to kill, we all die at the same time. What was I saying? What was I even saying? You know, this small, small preacher. Preacher just, they are giving a small change of food. They are going change of food. From yam to spaghetti. They have changed this. I've seen preachers who are abandoned where the anointing is flowing. And you're looking at them like, what? Why? Let me go and settle my family. See, let me tell you, did not know. You can't come back to that anointing. It's not possible. When you come out, God says, no, the glory has gone. See, that young boy was with you. I've anointed him with double your grace. Go and take care of your wife and your children. Christians, be careful. If God calls you, see, I've told you, better avoid ministry. Don't let those who are flying private jet deceive you. Ministry is not private jet. You know, we have Pentecostals now. If pastor's birthday is a big thing. I'm not saying it's bad. Most pastors have nobody doing bet nothing for them. Before you start answering call that, when nobody called you, better leave that thing. Because the job is not an easy job. It has some kinds of demands. It has some kind of demands. That's why I told the story of my friend, my brother. You know the demand. He has some kinds of demands. You just say preacher. I see all kinds of things. Pastor just abandon a whole congregation because somebody gave them visa. A whole congregation of people. You just abandon them. And I'm looking like, is your head correct? Say, I have to take care of my family. Listen to me. If you say that, you are not the Lord Jesus Christ. Take care of them with what? With human hustle or with his blessing? No, ask any preacher that will tell you that. Say, take care of them with what? With human hustle or with his blessing? What I dislike most about such circumstances is the way they wear down the faith of the congregation. After that, nobody there has hope. What I don't understand is, why preacher, you... These are no good key person. What are you a preacher for? Please, just resign from ministry. Go and sit down. What are you saying to people with your life? What are you saying to people with your life? Some people even sell the church. Because they want to raise money for tickets. Some people are just flying into oblivion. Because this is the way you don't fly, eh? I'll make sure for two generations, everyone carry your name is this sweeping gutter. If your Jesus is not worth dying for, it's not worth living for. What's your problem? What pains me most is that those who grumble the most, they have small money. Have you ever seen any of these guys who are digging around you, dreaming of visa? Those guys, you know, been to my roundabout there, new artisan. Somebody carrying digger and carrying, you know, shovel. Once you slow down, they run to your vehicle. Something like God, the bank is not their fault now. Let me go give them food. I give them too much food. That's why they start having too much ideas. So I just reduce the amount of food. Maybe make them, you know, diggers. Maybe they dig. They won't have ideas. You know, the ideas you will not have. Why did I talk about that? You know, something took me there, remember? Paul and Silas, they prayed. They sang. The Holy Ghost came down. Remember that song? Paul and Silas prayed and sang. Holy Ghost came, shook the foundation of the building. At the same time, as one was shaking the building, one angel went there, was unlocking padlocks. It's not vibration that unlocked the padlocks. I mean that it don't vibrate, lock open. And as soon as they were set free, Paul said, this is revival. We can't run away. That's why I went into all of that. Because when that man came, say we are, where's everybody? They are gone. He took his sword to kill himself. Paul said, relax. We are still all here. He counted everybody was complete. That day, him and his household, they were baptized. Paul said, for this man's sake, let us stay. If we run, he will die in his sin. If we stay, him and his household will be baptized. Life is not about you. I kept on saying that thing. I keep on saying it. What is your life being poured out concerning? That's what the issue is. Your life is being poured out for what purpose? That is what the story is about. Why did I get into that? To just remind us again that when those men said he's able to deliver us and he will deliver us, the highest level of faith was what? Even if he does not. Even if he does not. That we don't describe God by our experience. We describe God by his word. He's a deliverer. Whether he delivers you or not, he's a deliverer. And what confession do you hold on to? The fact that he's a deliverer. That's how it goes. He's able to deliver. Why? He's a deliverer. He will deliver me. Why? I'm his child. But even if he does not, I will never change my mind concerning the fact that he's a deliverer. I hope you're getting my point. So that's why you keep on declaring things like the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No matter what, you declare, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? They come to you and say, there's no, you know, remember, everything has an answer, right? Everything has an answer. So you say, there's no future in this country again. For young people like you, there is no future. There's an answer all over scripture for that one. Before I was born, he knew me. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he ordained me to be something in this life. It's a simple one. You can't tell somebody that knew me, you tell me there's no plan. He has a plan. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts for good, or plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So there's no future for young people in this country again. Say no. There's a future for me in God. There is nothing. That's the point I'm making. And please hold on to that confession. Hold on to that. Look, listen. We have emphasized it. We are not using our circumstances to describe God. We are describing him according to what he said about himself. So when he said there's no future again, okay, so I lost my job, there's no money, my savings, I stacked it up on the earth, and the prophetic word of God came upon it. Moth destroys, things broken and stole. That's inflation for you. That's moth. Banks collapse, somebody borrowed it, not pay your money, all kinds of things. So I put it down there. That's what I've laid up on the earth. So now everything has been frustrated. Somebody now says that there is no future for you again. I will still tell you, I know the plans I have towards you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, that's despite the fact that I've lost everything. That's what it means to hold on to your confession. That's what it means to hold on to your confession. He says, you know, things are so expensive now. But actually, my wife and I went to the mall. My wife said, what? Her eyes were popping open. Last time I came here, this thing was 600 naira. Now it's 1/8. What? It's called, show. We came to look. With your eyes, you shall behold. So we're beholding all the bad things happening around. There's an answer for that already. And that one is very simple. Everybody knows it. Psalm 23, verse 1. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not the mall is my provider. One of the names of the Lord which I love is El Shaddai. You know the meaning of El Shaddai? The Almighty. Literally, some people told us it's the Almighty breasted one. That is, he has every nutrient, every supply available for his children on this earth. Listen, you need to learn the name of God. You have to learn to invoke the name of God over every circumstance. Remember, the fight is about what? Our faith. It's about our faith. It's about our faith. I pray Christians understand. I feel like saying this before I close. When your faith has been tested, the Bible says you will now be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. I pray Christians understand what God is doing. Now, let me say this again, then I close with it. Remember that our joke? We're all in the same country. It does not mean we're all under the same climate. I don't remember that comment. There's one guy that cracked that joke a few years ago. And I find it very, very fun till now. But it's so true. So everything happening to everybody around is not the same effect. It's not the same purpose. It's not the same working in your life. Now, we're now describing your life and my life. In it, God is perfecting us. In it, God is purifying you. In it, God is testing me. In it, God is purifying all of us. For what purpose? I'll tell you. He said, he that overcomes, I will give a name. I will give a seal. I will give a stone. What's God doing? At the end of the day, some will overcome. Now, this is what I'm about to say. Now, God will give power to the words of the overcomer. That's what that revelation, all those things I quote in revelation, that's what it means. That is, a time will come. This is a matter of fact. A man will say, I don't think this thing, the fact that we're importing it is good. We will start manufacturing it. We should be able to do this amount of tons every month, and we'll sell it all over West Africa. Now, it sounds like a simple desire. There's only one problem. He spoke. Did you hear what I said? It's not like a simple desire, but what? He spoke. And because he spoke, suddenly somebody will write a law. They change some rules. The president will release things that presidential decrees, he will instruct, the custom. He will just do some things. Suddenly, the importation of the thing They said it will stop in the next 2 years. And they said, those who want to manufacture it, please approach the Bank of Industry to obtain loans. I hope I get my point. But because he was already thinking about it, he already has some plans. So he goes to the bank, says, what do you want to do? He tells them, all right, we'll give you this loan. It's 10 billion naira. There will be no interest for 3 years because the president says that this ban is coming to effect in 2 years' time. Take time to prepare. Now, it will work out. And then when it works out, you say, this is one thing I like about this government. They are a responsive government. They are a government that thinks and then they have plans for manufacturing. No. The Bible says, the one I give the name to, nobody knows apart from him that I gave it to. So nobody will know why he spoke or how it's happening. It will be because somebody did what? Spoke. That's what it means to have a name that nobody knows who has it apart from the one I gave it to. You know what I'm trying to say to you? God is raising people with a voice in the realm of the Spirit. In the midst of circumstances, God is raising people with a voice. And I'm saying to you, the way you will pass the test is watch what you say. Never, ever speak against what God has said. Go back to that Isaiah chapter 8.
I think it's his earlier part where he says, don't call. Where is it? Which verse is that? Yes. Yes, that is verse 20. Yes. He said, look to God's instructions and teachings. That's what I was looking for. Those who contradict his word are completely in the dark. Now, listen to this. Such people will go from place to place. They're looking for food, weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. Now, I want to warn everybody. Listen, I said it before. Let me just say it today as I close. Never, ever, as a Christian, speak against what God is saying. If you don't have any word to say, be silent. Because, you see, time will not allow us. Anytime you go against God and seek for refuge for yourself, God said, this you will have of my hand, you will lie down in torment. It's a warning. We need to get to understand. That's what I'm teaching on Saturdays now. Christianity is not a joke. If God says something, don't ever disagree. If you don't have understanding, shut up. Let me tell the people that God will really, really discipline. Those who get home and tell themselves, my husband or my wife, that one they are saying in church, me, I don't understand them. You know, Pastor Banky has taken care of his children. You understand? He has taken care. He has saved up money. He has built a house here. I heard that he has a block of flats in Abuja. God have mercy on people. See, all these things he say. If you hear, I've heard people say things, eh, you just shake your head. Like what? They'll just look for an explanation why the word of God will not be true in their case. God said, if you continue like that, this you hand have from my hand, you will do what? You will lie down in torment. And I don't want anybody listening to me to ever lie down in torment. Following God may appear risky, but it's the safest thing you can ever do. You hear what I said? Following God may appear risky, but it's the safest thing you can ever do. Just make sure that every decision you are making is because of God. Now, when I say because of God, I don't mean because we make this mistake. God, I'm doing this for you so you can do that for me. That's not what we are saying. What we are saying is that God, it is because I trust what you have said. That is why, in quotes, I'm putting my life at so-called risk. Because you said, my name is Isaac. Everybody is going to Egypt. You said, sow in the land. Stay, don't go to Egypt. And there's famine. Then I sow in the land because you said so. You know what happened to Isaac? In the same year, he reaped 100-fold. And the following year, he didn't have that 100-fold. Now, the Bible didn't say that I'm the one that said it. But what the Bible said is the man continued to go what? Grow richer until he became very rich. Now, I prophesy to somebody as I close. That anointing that God placed upon Isaac, it will come upon you and upon your household in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I prophesy to somebody that anointing that God gave to Isaac, I said it will come upon you and upon your household in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, this is what the Lord said. No one that hopefully waits for me will ever be put to shame. Please say amen to that.
Amen.
He said, no one that hopefully waits for me will ever see shame.
Amen.
That is what God said. He said, those who wait for him, no one that ever, you know, hopefully, that I'm waiting for God to manifest. I'm doing this because the word of God said so. No one will ever be put to shame.
Amen.
Listen, there's a prayer I prayed long ago, and that prayer will work in your life. Listen to this prayer. Years ago, just shortly after I got to Enugu, there's nothing people are saying now that we have not heard before. And I used it to preach that time. One day I knelt and I prayed. I said, God, nobody will ever. It was a prayer. I said, God, nobody will ever look to me and say, we want him. It's a prayer I prayed to God. That's shortly after I got to Enugu. People said all kinds of things. People even laughed at me that I left Lagos and came to Enugu. I don't know where the action is. People are giving me all kinds of counsel. One day I said, God, please, I ask one thing of you. Let it never happen that somebody will have the ability to look to me and say, we want you. That is why I don't care what God needs to do. One thing I'm sure, he will keep Enugu safe. I know a few people who are in politics, but you can take this word to anybody who's governor of Enugu. We have a current one, Peter Mba, that he has the anointing upon him to make sure I'm comfortable. I didn't say he should dash me money. I don't know him, but I've never met him. I didn't say he should give me land. I didn't go to him to go. But there's an anointing upon him to make this city good for me. Yes, yes. I'm not joking about it. Even the realm of the spirit, it does things that are against the will of God in my life. If you forget the second tenure. Physically, I don't know. I'm talking about what? Spiritually. Do you know why? Because long ago, I said to God, no one will ever have the ability, I pray in the name of Jesus, to look to me and say, we want you. No. What they will keep on saying is, this guy, you were wise. You must have seen something that we did not see. I have said to you, and I say it again, my children will possess the land.
Amen.
Listen, my children will possess the land.
Amen.
Where people are cutting their hands to go to, my children will go there to go and buy shoes. You can insult them that time, but I'm giving you the word of the Lord. They will say, I like the ice cream there. Just tell the wife and children, come, let's go and eat. There's an alabaster box anointing. You don't understand what that means. I pray you get it. There's an alabaster box anointing. There are things that God will do. Say, let me just make a point. Say, Banky, say, sir, take your wife, call your children, tell them, come. Let's go and eat ice cream. I heard that the ice cream in Switzerland is sweet with their chocolate. So you guys are going to eat ice cream for a weekend and you go back home. And when they say, where you are coming from, say, we went to buy ice cream. Some people are going to insult you that they are poor people. Don't worry about it. But you shall eat this ice cream as an offering unto the Lord. Now, what I've told you is deep. There are times God just wants to make a point. Say, when is your birthday? You say, it's next month, sir. You say, well, good. So you know what they are going to do? They are going to kill 10 cows. Close the street. Just, they will cook every day for 7 days. And you don't even have to be around. So what's the point? Nothing. Just that people eat. And they say, it's a child of God's birthday. Bow your heads. And say, Lord, work your glory in my life. Now, you need to pray that prayer. Say, Lord, I want to see your glory in my life. That's what I'm asking you for. Say, Lord, your glory in my life. But I will never lose faith. I will never lose hope. President Tinubu, you will do me good. You don't have a choice. Not like I'm begging you. You serve the Lord. You are serving my God. That's what I'm saying. Governor of my state. This is Enugu state. Our governor, his name is Peter Mba. You will serve the will of God in my life. That's what I'm saying. Whatever state you are, the company you are working in right now, the MD will do the will of God in your life. Please don't ever curse the head of state or the governor of your state. Bless them. They are your servants. That is the servant of God working for you. So the lines are falling for me. In pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. You know what I like about that psalm is when you read it in New Living Translation. He said, the land you have given me is good. The land that you give to me, Lord, he said, it is good. He said, the lines are falling for me in good. He said, the land you've given to me is good. Say that to the Lord. Thank you. Because the land you've given to me is good. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because the land you've given to me is a good land. Say, the land that God has given to me is a good one. It's a pleasant land. Say, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given to me is a good land. It's a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. It's a good land. Declare that. Say, Lord, it's a good one that you have given to me. What a wonderful inheritance. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Let's declare it again from verse Psalm 23. 1-2, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, can we read that like we are blessed? Amen. I just wanted you to finish. Now, open your, if you don't know, we have different versions. Maybe that's why you're whispering. Let's read it so we can go home. Open your Bible, Psalm 23. New American Standard Version. Let's just use that. Now, you read it like you are blessed, though. Are you ready now? One, two, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. All right, just give the Lord thanks. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for your word with which you have blessed me.